Good to have you here. As Pastor Craig said, I'm Damaris and I'm the Connections Director in this place. And I want to take my few minutes to say we'd love to have your help. You know, it's just a blessing to be, you know, just to be able to, you know, welcome people as they come through these doors and be able to just help them feel in their place, you know, with their family, and we're the body. And we just want to invite you to be part of this, which has been a blessing. I've been enjoying that, and I know you will enjoy be part of this great team. So I just want to have my announcement there. And we'd love to have you guys added to our team, okay? We started the series called God Sends last week, and today I have the best of the ones that I can even imagine. And I was like, really, God, why I have to share this? And I was remembering that years ago when my kids were a little younger, I was at home with them and I wanted to take them for a walk. And the oldest two, they were just riding this little car with pedals, like they were just trying to ride that. And, you know, as you know, boys, they always want to take the lead. So they were ahead, a little bit ahead of me. And I was at the end with my youngest pushing the little bicycle. So he was just little. I was trying to deal, you know, try to tell them where to go, not to do, not stop or whatever. And then they were just having fun. And then all of a sudden, there's this lady coming. Like, she was running, doing exercise. And then she's coming, you know, the sidewalk also. And then she starts saying, like, oh, really? Like, you, these people think, like, this is, it belongs to them. They just taking all the sidewalk. And then I was like, really? You know, I always tried to tell my kids, like, can you move just to the right? But they were little. They're learning. They just, you know, get into that. So I couldn't do anything, like, trying to stop them or do something because there were three of them. And then, but just kind of just tell them, like, go to your right. And they just learning in that time. But then this lady started just telling these things to me. And I was feeling like, you know, so sad that she wasn't unable to see the situation. Like, when I walk, sometimes, you know, I see, you know, people walking with kids, and I will move around and, you know, find another place to walk. Or if people come with their dogs, especially if it's a big dog, I will really make sure I run away from that. I don't want to get in trouble or fight with these dogs. So I will do that. So, you know, it wasn't bad for her just to move, you know, just go around and be helpful, but she didn't. So I was so upset. I was just like, really, like, I got so mad. And then we kept walking, and then she was, you know, kept her away. And then on her way back to home, we found her again. And then, but she was on the other side, and we were in this side. So my human nature comes out, and it's just like she was just running, and I say, "Oh, here comes the queen," and like, "Oh my God!" And then she responded back to me, and she was saying bad words and signs and all of that. Like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that happened!" And how, like, me myself, I was just kind of bitter, like, in a way that, you know, like, you know, really, just, you know, you understand the situation. But I shouldn't take the place of trying to make her understand the situation, because obviously she wasn't in that place. But instead, me was like a reaction point where I just, you know, my nature comes out and I say that. And, you know, sadly, you know, as the weeks pass by, you know, we always drive through that neighborhood, and then I just always remember that, and I was just feel so bad inside of me, because I let that affect my heart so bad that always when I see her walking by, I would feel so bad. And I don't think she was from that neighborhood, but I didn't see her before. That was the first time. Great experience, right? So anyway, I just remember, like, maybe 2 weeks or so, I told God, like, I am so sorry, God. I know I messed it up. I just really didn't act in a way that I was supposed to do. And I've asked for forgiveness, because that wasn't, you know, a godly way to react to the situation, obviously. So, you know, I was like, I felt so much better after that. And then, you know, kind of like, really? You know, and then I just think about how many times you and me or we encounter, you know, we encounter situations, we are in situations that makes us act in a bad way, not in a godly way, and this is not what God calls us to do. And, you know, as we go through this series, it's going to be learning principles for all of us that we need to put in practice in order for us to be blessed. And this is one of them. So get ready and learn a little bit about what today we're going to be talking about. And the title is We Conquer by Yielding. Our instinct as humans is to take matters into our own heads. Jesus, however, shows us that yielding to his way actually leads to a victorious life. In Matthew 5:5 say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Psalms 37 says, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So I didn't have peace in my heart because of the way that I react. You know, it was obvious that I wasn't a meek person at that moment. I was the contrary. I was just getting in the same place that the other person was. And God don't want that for us to do. One, because it saves a lot in my heart. You know, there was a lot of, you know, kind of stuff in my heart that was affecting me. And growing up, as you know, I will let that, you know, go in my mind, remembering what I had done wrong. So it wasn't good for me, but at the same time, it's like, you know, that was my great opportunity to be out like that, but I didn't. So, you know, and remember that we're going to be blessed when we are meek. The word translate meek as praise, like P-R-A-E-I-S, so I don't know how you pronounce that. That occurs only three other times in the New Testament, in Matthew 11:29. In Matthew 21:5 and 1 Peter 3:4. In all other three places, it is translated gentle. The meaning of meek conveys humility and trust in God rather than self-centered attitudes. This person is humble before God. I wasn't being humble at all that time. I was just like acting in a, you know, like, well, I also, you know, I have the rights to walk in this place, you know, and I wasn't humble at all, but, you know, God tells me and teach me that I need to be meek. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humble with your God. So I was acting, you know, like it was kind of just like, you know, if you see from the other side, give me, you know, like, you'll see that was, you know, it's okay. You understand that, you know, it's a lady with three little kids. You can't do as much. So that was a good kind of side, I guess, in my side, my point of view. But kindness, that was nothing of kindness in that for me. I have no idea what was going on in her life. And that's, you know, in that moment. And I wasn't really trying to be kind because of her reaction to me. Instead, I was just acting in a different, completely different way. And then to walk humble with your God. And that's daily, you know, how daily reminders of us just to be walking humble by God, with God. Because in our own selves, we can seem like we are humble, but it's not the real, like, humbleness. But when you're walking with God, he's the one who gives us what we need and the way that we can act. As we are meek toward God, we have an attitude of submission to his will. We desperately need an attitude of submission toward God. When I was just thinking about this word, it makes me think about the potter and the clay. You know, when you know, the potter has an idea of what he wants to do with the clay. And, you know, he starts just shaping and giving the form, kind of mold the way that he wants for this beautiful thing to come out. And it's not the way around. You don't see the clay telling like, okay, I want to be this, you want to take this, you know, these things away. But it's him, you know, the potter who decides what to do. And that's God with us. He needs to mold us, and we need to let him mold us or shape us in a way that it will come this beautiful thing. And it's only him, the one he can, that can do that for us, not ourselves. And then I was thinking about, you know, how we can let the world shape us instead of God shaping us. And when I think about that, if we let the world shape us in a way, like shape our personalities or our characters, you know, there's a lot of things that years ago were valuable, or like there were values, very important values, but now are no anymore. So you think about the difference. If we keep ourselves or we try to be shaped by this world, that's nothing. It is no good, because this world changes daily. And as the Bible says, you know, like in the last days, you'll see the people will call the bad good and the good bad. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of mis-saying it in Spanish. I'll kind of know a little bit. But, you know, the difference between that, you know, the people will say the things before they were, the things that were right before, they are not right anymore. Like, you know, for us, like today, we'll say like, oh, that's kind of old-fashioned. Or people coming through, you know, any place, you say good morning, you know. And I remember my parents teaching us that, you know, wherever you go and you see someone, you say good morning, you say hi, you say, you know, you greet. But here you go to school, like I always drop off my boys and pick them up. But, you know, the kids will come, you know, will come from their cars, and they don't even say anything. They don't say nothing. But then I have to remind my kids, like, you know, you have to say good morning. You say, you know, and everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of them, they're the same. So those are values that that are very important, but maybe are not valuable as much as it was before. So just a reminder of us to be shapeable by God instead of this world. You know, the things like meekness, the world sees meekness as weakness. And it can be in a one way, you know, like you can tell, like, how can you let someone treat you like that? How in the world you didn't say anything? Did you just see what happened? They say something to you, you didn't say anything. So the world will see that our actions, when we act as meek, they will see that many times as someone weak. But it's not the reality. The Bible tells us something different about that. Meekness implies obedience not to men, but to God. There are three men in the Bible, and I know you know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were three guys, you know, the Israelites. They were brought from there just to come and work for the king of Babylon. So they were trained for 3 years, so they were the best of that, you know, the Israelites. They were brought through this place, not just them, but other, you know, young guys and good-looking guys, I guess, I don't know, very smart, but they were brought to this place to be trained for 3 years, you know, kind of teach them about the, you know, the lifestyle of the Babylonians, the literature, you know, the language, all of that, learn from the Babylonians to be able to work for the king. And I guess they were doing, even the eating habits, that was something else that they wanted, you know, them to get and be shaped, I guess, you know, by their world. But these three little guys, these three guys, were obedient to God and not, instead of obedient to men. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were just doing what it was. But also they have to worship their gods. And also the king built, like, he had this statue that they were supposed to bow down before the statue. And these three people decide not to do it because they would prefer to be obedient to God instead of obedient to men. Even though they were facing death, they were, you know, they knew that if they will not bow down before this statue, they will be put into a furnace of fire. And, you know, and I think myself, you know, if I was in that place, I might be able to say, well, God, you know my heart. If I just bow down, it's just, you know, it's just because they say this, and, you know, and I will kind of excuse myself, and I say, well, you really know my heart, and I will do this because of that. But they didn't. They decided to be obedient to God instead of men. And what happened is that, you know, the king sees, instead of three people in the furnace of fire, he sees four people. And then when they open the thing, and they say, like, wow, this is the angel protecting them, and nothing happened to them. And then the Bible says that they didn't even have the smell of fire. So imagine the protection of God, and then how he can be backing up to you because of your obedience to what he has told you to do, and being able to be shaped by him instead of the world. So we can see this example, and I just love that, because it's a good reminder for us to be able to instead of listen to the voices of the world and how we should be acting, or how we should live our lives or things like that, I need to listen to God's voice and be able to live it out so I can be a blessing to others instead of just being atropieso. I don't know how you say that, but just, you know, stop them, from following God. So anyway, that's another way. The psalmist, contrasting the destinies of the meek and weak, wrote in Psalms 37, 9 to 11, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And the meek people realize their position before God and gladly live it out before their fellow humans. They don't look down on themselves, but they do nothing too highly of themselves neither. This week, as always, you know, I know just always things comes to your mind and you feel like, I can't do this. You know, it just feel down and kind of pressure down a little bit. But the Bible reminds us that we can't think of ourselves too highly, neither too low. Like, oh, I got it all. You know, I just born in this family, and I'm so smart. I have this title and blah, blah, blah. And my value is not in those things, but my value is in God. So I can't even, or the other side, oh, I came from this town. I don't know English, blah, 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 blah. You know, all this situation that can be and help me to put myself down where I don't belong. Instead, you know, I need to be in the right place and know and find my value before God's eyes, instead of how the world can even see me or see the things around me. So it's just a good reminder of the meek person is the one who knows his value before God and lives it out in the world. The contrary, you know, that's the part where you see, like, okay, God, this doesn't make sense, you know. Somebody just did this to me, and now you want me to bless them? This definitely doesn't make sense. But the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 14 to 21, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, here we go. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the difference that we can make. He's not saying, like, just keep quiet, don't say anything. He's saying, instead of doing that, you have to react to something. And that is where we need the submission, you know, be submitted to God in order to ask for his will to be done in us, so we'll be able to do what is needed in that moment. In my situation, maybe it was needed to be quiet, because nothing that I was going to say, it will make this person change her way of thinking. But what I can do is just, you know, pray for whatever was going on. And then when I have my second chance, I will be wisely and be, you know, godly instead of reacting in my human nature, which I did. And then it messed me up, you know, it messed me up really, truly. I was so affected by the situation that I let that contaminate my heart. And then I had that feeling in my heart, very sad, very bad. And I remember telling that my husband. And then for so long, until finally I asked for forgiveness. But, you know, instead of just being quiet many times, and that's where we need God's direction, so we'll be able to speak out if we need, but wisely and knowing exactly what we need to say in the right time, you know, because we're being led by God and not by our own actions. I remember at the beginning of the year, David was struggling with the classmates, and you know, some of them, they were kind of funny. It was a difficult situation, and he never say anything until I have my meeting with the teacher, and then she said that David has say anything to you about the classmates, and I know he's, you know, he's different, and then he's just I just wonder how he's doing. And he didn't even say anything about that. But then later, I didn't even ask him. And he came to me and asked, you know, there are some things with my classmate. I don't feel right. They just use this kind of language. And they are kind of mean to each other. And I want to be friends with them. Like, he wanted the friendship because he didn't want to be lonely. But it was hard. So my human nature, my actions, of course, it was like, okay, you want me to talk to your teacher or maybe see if you can be changed from another, you know, to another classroom or what. But also he had talked to my husband about that. And then he said, Mommy, I just talked to my daddy and we're going to be praying about it. And I was just like, oh my God, I wish we will learn those lessons. I know he's not perfect and we're still learning. But I wish we'll be able to learn that from when we were younger. So it will be so much different. It will save us so much trouble. And instead of just reacting to situations, letting God work through the situations and be able to let him work, you know, what it needs to be work and or anything. And also a job situation with my husband, you know, that things were not doing right and the level of the responsibility was no. Like, they were not, it was not justice in the way that they were given the responsibility. So he was kind of so sad and kind of mad about the situation. And we were just talking about that. And then we start praying about that situation. And I don't know how long it went through, you know, how much longer it went through. But we were praying about that. And then all of a sudden, the person quit the job. So, you know, and it does give us peace because it was nothing that he was able to do. He could talk to them about the situation, but maybe the situation will change or not. Who knows? But at the same time, it was better to leave it at God's hands that he took control of the situation. And then she went to another job, which was good. And then it was kind of, okay, God, you have control of every situation. And that's a good reminder for us. It gives us hope that there's nothing that we can do in our own hands, but that's why we need to be meek and trust in God that he will do what he knows what is right. We don't know what is coming the next day or even when we leave from here, but he knows it all. And then, Paul Crack shared last week, you know, in Psalms that he lights our path. You know, he's the light. And we need that, you know, for God to be able to light our path so we are able to walk little by little in faith, trust in him that he has us. And whatever situation we encounter ourselves in, we'll be able to act wisely instead of react to that situation. It's like you go to the store, you know, somebody there, you know, the cashier is there and then no friend there at all. And then you just like, you get easily contagious, like, and then you go back and then respond in the same way instead of just letting God work through you. And then just like, hey, how are your day is going? How are you? Or something. And it will change the environment or the way that you react that you, you act with each other or you relate to each other. So it's not easy because it's not obviously that's not the only time that I've been having problems with my reactions. But I know that I need and I want to do what is right, like my son was doing. And instead of taking my own the control of myself or in my own, I need to let God take control of that situation. So what we need to do is follow the example of Christ. In Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." We need to learn from him. And, one of the ways that when Jesus was on earth, the way that he lived out his faith and how he walked in here. And I remember the example on the cross that he was there, hung on the cross with the other two. And then one comes like, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you come down and then just save yourself and save us. And then he didn't, and then he responded to the other person and he said, "Today you will be with me in heaven." And then it's not like he responding or defending himself to what the other had to say, but instead he used something, his words wisely and in using a different direction. And I completely believe that the other one realized, "Oh my God, what did I say?" or something. And that's what we can do, in our actions and situations that we can live it out. Just remember and frame ourselves and trust in God and submit ourselves to his will instead of our own will. People will see meek as weakness. And it's okay, if they see that. Because we're not going to be applauded because of what we do. Or I don't want to be applauded for what I do here. I want to be applauded for what I do in heaven. I want to be seen by God in my actions and the way that I live out my faith instead of how the world will see me doing the things. Because this view, the view of the world is completely different. As I said at the beginning, the values of this world is completely different to the values of God, how he sees the things and how he wants us to live out our faith. And, sadly, in this world, and you guys have seen, it's everywhere. You see people full of stuff inside of their heart, like madness, people reacting to situations or, all this craziness going around. And I guess there's a lot of bitterness inside of them that makes them react of situations. And it is so much needed for us to be a light there, to be able to be different. We're a big number of Christians, and imagine if we will live it out, we live out our faith as meek people, it will make a big difference. You go in the whatever or whoever needs to drive every day, it has to deal with traffic. You see people pushing you, pressuring you, you go on the limit, and then they just pressuring you to go, faster. And then if you don't move, they just go all of a sudden and go in front of you to tell you something you go so slow or something, trying to tell you something. Or reactions everywhere. You'll see that. And it's so obvious out there. But what is not obvious is how we Christians are living out our faith there. And we should. And it's not that we have it all, because it's a process, God, molding us. It will take time. It will take some things that he needs to take away from our personalities, our character. There are a lot of things. But remember who we are in Jesus Christ and how important it is for us to be meek out there. The people need someone that is being able to see the needs out there, just to see farther from that person who spoke really bad to you. You can see something besides that and be able to bless them, what the Bible tells us to do. Not just to stay there, but also to bless them, give something back. It is not your bad words or bad actions, but instead of bless them and pray for them. And I know it's not easy. It's not easy, and we all struggle with situations in our lives. In order for us to be blessed, in order to be for us to be able to live a life of peace and peace, it is that, you know, just follow, be obedient to God and follow his steps and do what is right. Act, you know, in a way that, you know, God is leading you. And that's not going to happen by you spending time in the TV or the Facebook or whatever, but it's going to be, you know, with that time in his presence. He's going to help you to just, you know, in the situations and help you to build you up in a way that you can live out your faith and be alike and make a difference in the world. So let's pray today. Oh God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, because we can see ourselves, you know, compare ourselves to you, and we know we have nothing. We don't have it all. We are just so, so far away to be perfect. But there is where we come to you asking that we need you. We need your presence in our lives. We need your Holy Spirit to be able to do the work that needs to be done in our lives. God, help us to live our lives for your glory, Father. It's not easy. This world is so much in need of you so much in need of people who wants to live out their faith and be able to shine and to be able to minister into people's lives, to lift them up also, because you came to give us life and you have brought us to this place, to the areas where we are, the areas of work, as you know, our families, our you know, you have put us in the place where we are now to make a difference, and help us to be able to listen to your voice and be able to live out what you have called us to live out. Father, we pray for this world. We pray that people will be able to see you in the midst of, you know, so much sadness and bitterness and angriness, like all the stuff that are está en el medio de tu pueblo, Señor. Sabemos que las cosas son duras y nuestra humanidad es tan débil, mi Dios, pero en ti todo lo podemos, Señor. Todo lo podemos en Cristo que nos fortalece, y por eso venimos delante de tu presencia pidiéndote a ti que te glorifiques en nuestras vidas, que tomes el trono en nuestras vidas, que hagas tú, Señor, lo que tengas que hacer en nuestras vidas, y que quite de nosotros, Señor, todo aquello que no pertenece y que no provenga de ti. Sana nuestro corazón, toda herida, toda situación, mi Dios, que ha sido puesta por el enemigo y que hemos dado permiso al enemigo que entre y afecte nuestros corazones, que sea echado fuera en el nombre de Jesús, y que tú traigas libertad a nuestras vidas, Señor, para que podamos ser testigos, Señor, en este mundo, que podamos llevar bendición y poder, Señor, transmitir la diferencia en este mundo que tú, únicamente tú, puedes dar, en el nombre de Cristo Jesús, para tu gloria y tu honra. Amén. As you let's stand up and worship.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're
like to take this moment to ask the prayer partners to come forward. And if there's any special prayers that you need, just come on up and they'll take care of you and they'll lead you to them. Lord, I just thank you so much that you're so faithful, that you're there, and that you press on our hearts when we do wrong, and you show us the way to right. Lord, help us just hold on to that truth. Help us to love each other. Help us to look past all the grievances, Lord, and just to pull into hope and pull into truth.